We'll let our young people be dismissed for children's Bible time. Just a reminder, this is your last opportunity to get in the track distribution for the third quarter. Saturday will end that quarter. See, that was easy. All right, we're taking care of you. Are you good? Okay. One of the grand events of the end time program is the second coming of Jesus Christ. Job, who did not have any other written record of the Word of God. Job is the oldest written record of the Word of God. We shared this Sunday that he said, I know that my Lord is going to stand upon the earth in the latter days. Job, in that old writing, oldest book put pen to paper, talked about this event that was after the Old Testament, after the birth of Christ, after the ministry of Christ, after the church age, after the rapture, after the tribulation period, Job saw that. How in the world did he see that? Well, I'm going to guess some preacher taught him. Before there was a written record, the priests, they were designated with that. God sat Adam down and told him, hey, sin's a problem. I'm going to pay the penalty. And Adam passed that on to his descendants, and that doctrine was passed along to Job, and Job wrote it down and wrote about it. And tonight we're going to talk about the second coming of Jesus Christ. Pretty exciting stuff. We're in Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19, beginning at verse 11. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called, capital letters, Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge, and make war. How is God doing it? He's doing it in anger. He's doing it in righteousness. This is the right thing to do. The time of his long suffering is past. It's time for judgment and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire. I forget where we were. We were somewhere just recently. Maybe it was early summer. Family was together, and somebody brought something to my attention that wasn't right. And they had said something, and the perpetrator, was not listening to their authority. And I walked in the room, and I said, "You, mister, move it now." And he moved. And David looked at me and he said, "You haven't lost your touch." What is that? That's the look. If you don't think the Lord has a look, then you have missed a great deal of Scripture. And it's just the look should be enough to convince us. Peter is warming himself by the fire. Jesus Christ is in the court, if you will. The trial is going on, if you want to call it that, because it wasn't legal. And during that time, Peter denied Christ. And the Bible tells us that Jesus, in coming out, looked at Peter. What was that look?
I don't know.
Maybe a shake of the head? I don't think it took a shake of the head. The Bible says Jesus looked. And Peter went out and wept. Just from the look. But here in Revelation chapter 19, we have the look of a judge. A serious look. Faithful and true, righteous in judgment and righteous in war, his eyes as a flame of fire. And on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. The name, and his name is called the Word of God. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, Jesus Christ, and without him was not anything made that was made. That's pretty clear. Again, we talked about this, I don't know, maybe 3 weeks ago, that the Jehovah's Witness translation, New World Translation, has changed John 1:1 to say, because they say Jesus was created by God. And so they had to change that verse. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Of course, the Word talking about Jesus Christ. And they just changed one word. And the Word was a God. And in that, they took Jesus out of the Godhead and made him a created being. The problem is they forgot to change verse 3. And their verse 3 still says that without him, Jesus Christ, was not anything made that was made. So if he was a created being, and they say he's a created being, but if he created all things, and without him was not anything made that was made, which would include himself, their Bible, verse 1 and verse 3, don't agree. But there you have it in verse 13. It's a consistent title. Many people do not realize that from John chapter 3, but here it is again in Revelation 19. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses. And my dad asked me this question. Well, just Saturday, I talked to my dad on the phone. And he said, now, I'm thinking about, we come back with Christ, Christ on a white horse, right? I said, that's right. My dad is my foremost authority on the book of Revelation. He has taught Revelation more times than I have. He said, now, are we coming back on white horses? I said, you know, Dad, it's interesting you asked me that question because I'm dealing with that next Wednesday night. We are absolutely on white horses. This is a great event. And my dad would never let me have a horse because horses don't make money. They eat money. But I'm going to be on a horse. I'm pretty excited about that. You know Christ is your Savior. You're part of that army. You will be. I lost my place. Verse 14. And the armies which were heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. We're in judgment time, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God. Now, this is the supper of the great God. This is not the marriage supper of the Lamb. Marriage supper of the Lamb takes place after the rapture. The church is involved in that. Now, that is a time of great rejoicing. This is a time of judgment. The world is gathering themselves, but the world is the main course. The armies of the world will fall, and they become the supper. Verse 18, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And that'd be you if you know Christ. And the beast was taken. It's always good to know who's going to win the battle. The beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, which he deceived them that received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both, who's that? The beast and the false prophet. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone, and the remnant that were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceedeth out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled, couldn't eat anymore, with their flesh. Look at verse 12 of chapter 20. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in them, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts this evening, that we would not just take a textbook knowledge of the scripture this evening, but that we would be motivated to warn others to flee the wrath to come. And we'd be a faithful witness, a disciple, taking the good news to every creature, as we're commanded to do in your word. Help us to do that. Help us to be faithful in that task. Father, I pray if there is a person here under the sound of my voice, we're listening by way of technology at a later date, and they would be reminded that they are a sinner, and without a Savior, they are in desperate straits, and they would seek your salvation, the gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ. And we'll thank you for that. We come to you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. The second coming and the rapture are two events that are often confused. And by way of introduction tonight, just for a few moments, we're going to point out, I'll just say, things that are different are not the same. These two events are confused, but these two events are distinctly different. So here are, I've got a list, I didn't number them, but at the rapture, the Bible tells us that Jesus comes for his saints, but at the second coming, Jesus is coming with his saints. There's a difference. The second one, and that's found in 1 Thessalonians 4 and Revelation 19, we just read that. At a rapture, we meet the Lord in the air. But at the second coming, I tell people, then the air is up. The second coming of Jesus Christ, we are with the Lord. He plants his feet on the earth, on the Mount of Olives. One is in the air. One is on this earth. Zechariah 14, 1 through 4, if you want that reference. At the rapture, people on earth will not see Christ. But at the second coming, every eye shall see him. Again, a difference. The rapture, there is no timetable of immediate judgment. Now, if you followed me for very long, typically we say when the rapture takes place, the tribulation will follow. But when? The Bible doesn't tell us. It may be that exact moment. It may be a month later. I don't know. The Bible doesn't say. But at the second coming of Jesus Christ, the millennium begins immediately. The millennium is beginning, but the tribulation, and the millennium is out there, and the tribulation is here. Again, two different events, two things, two different things following them. After the rapture, at some point, the tribulation will begin, and again, after the second coming, the millennium will begin. Two different events, two different things follow it. Things different are not the same. So, as I have mentioned before, and we've got some folks that may be here for the first time or listening for the first time, you must be careful when you're listening and reading to people talk about this. I'll just say, last year, one of our fellows gave me a video to watch, and it was a video of end time events. He thought it was really good, and it had some interesting things in it. I always like to see who is producing it. And you can tell a lot about a person by their affiliation, what their doctrine is going to be. And he gave it to several men of the church, our church, to watch it. And then the four of us, five of us, got together and kind of discussed it. And so I'm the oddball, because this is what I'm looking for. I want to see if these guys know what they're talking about. So when they started talking about the rapture, I know when that is. But then the guy in the same breath, and then there are like three or four scholars on this. I didn't know any of them. I have no axe to grind. But they talked about that, and they talked about the rapture, and they swapped the terms back and forth. And so I got the guys together, and they were talking, and the guy said, "Man, that's really good. We like that. Pastor, you should play that for church." And I just said, "The problem is, it's just not doctrinally correct." And the men looked at me and said, "What do you mean it's not doctrinally correct?" And I said, "So these guys, they're PhDs, they are Bible scholars, they are either sloppy with their terms, accidentally, which is hard to believe, or they are purposely mixing them up and interchanging them to confuse, or maybe to be all things to all men. Because if you take a position, you immediately eliminate a people that disagree with you." And I don't know their intention, because I don't know them. And I don't know their intention. I couldn't call them. Not something they were looking, that they would have even taken my call if I did. But it's certainly not something that I would present to the church. And I'm just saying, when you see those things, the rapture and the second coming are two distinct events, and you should ask yourself, are they swapping them? Are they saying this is the second coming? Are they putting the rapture at the end of the tribulation period? Are they doing that on purpose, accidentally? It's just a way for you to be able to tell, is this something I should be looking at, or something I should be trashing? Is this something I should be forwarding, or is this something that I should be blocking? You've got to be discerning. This is a glorious event. The second coming of Jesus Christ is a glorious event, depending upon your perspective. If you're a Christian today, and you've gone up at the rapture, met the Lord in the air, you've been in heaven for these 7 years, now you're coming back with Christ on a white horse, and you've got the battle plan. He's going to win. You're in good spirits. It's going to be good. We have the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But if you're on this earth, the nations of the earth gather. We have a military that is gathering for battle together, and they all don't speak the same language. Military guys tell me that's not going to be a problem on the battlefield. That's going to be a huge problem. Going to be a problem with friendly fire? Yeah, I suspect they're going to be killing each other. It's going to be a brutal time. The first coming of Christ was when? Well, it's not here. This is the rapture. Christ didn't come to earth. In order to find the first coming of Christ, you have to go back through the church age and back to Bethlehem. Bethlehem is the first coming of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ says it came as a baby, infant, lowly, humbled himself, and then he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. When I was a kid, I don't know, like last year. No, like 8 and 9 years of age. In church, we had a fellow, he was a deacon. He had a deep bass voice, and he liked to sing, "Oh, the King is coming, the King is coming. I have heard the trumpet sounding." And that's not a good doctrinal song, I'll just tell you. Why? And I didn't know it at the time, but I know it now because it messes up terms. But it wasn't written by a Baptist with Baptist doctrine, Bible doctrine in view. It was written to reflect the doctrine of the person that wrote it, which wasn't the Bible. Some would like to say that the God of Revelation 19 in judgment, about what it says, he is coming, righteous, verse 11, he's to judge and to make war. That this is a different God than the God of the Old Testament and the God of the New Testament. And in that, they impugn the character of God, which is what? The same yesterday, today, and forever. And to say that the judge of Revelation 19 and the second coming is different than the judge of the Old Testament is to ignore the fact that God judged the earth with a global flood. And God wiped out the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. And the righteous judge judged David for his sin with Bathsheba and his murder of her husband with the death of their child. What is the same, and what we miss about the judge of the second coming, is that he is long-suffering. So he was long-suffering in the time of the flood. He was long-suffering in the day of Sodom and Gomorrah. He was long-suffering with David. He is long-suffering during 7 years of tribulation. But do not confuse long-suffering with no judgment. I warn others, and you should, do not sin away your day of grace. Christian, are you listening? If there is sin in your life tonight, and you know it, hidden on a file on your computer, something at home, something you're doing, your husband doesn't know, your wife doesn't know, your parents don't know, the preacher doesn't know. I just remind you that God knows. And the fact that God has not done anything does not mean that there will not come a time that God will do something. What we know about the tribulation period is that after 7 years are complete, that is the date that God will do something. But if you're living in sin tonight, you better be careful, because there is a day when God will say, "Time of my long suffering has come to an end. Tonight I'm going to judge." Now, that day is at the second coming for those in the tribulation period. remind you, Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, "I am the Lord, I change not." Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, we mentioned that God, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Again, the day of God's mercy, verse 15, "Out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God." That day of mercy has passed, his long suffering has come. You know what I find amazing about this is what I put in my outline. And that is, God's day of grace, long-suffering, has come, and this is the word I put in my outline, has come to an abrupt end. It's like, hey, Job! What do you see? Thousands of years from now, I see God planting his feet on the earth. What do we see in the Old Testament prophets, Zechariah, Haggai? We see the second coming of Jesus Christ. What have we seen these last many months in the tribulation, in our study of Revelation? The second coming of Jesus Christ. How in the world can you call that abrupt? I did. I just don't think I should. It's not abrupt. It's measured, it's calculated, it's set. As a warning to flee the wrath to come. The supper is not the marriage supper. I mentioned that. Revelation 19 is a judgment of the great whore. Again, contrast that with the marriage supper of the Lamb. There is a contrast, different. It's a judgment. The marriage supper of the Lamb is a celebration. This supper is a judgment. And it's horrifying. It is dreadful. If the only book of the Bible you had was the book of Revelation, and you got to Revelation chapter 19, I would take from Revelation chapter 19, look at verse 20, the beast, I don't want to be on his side. Why? Because he's going to be taken. The false prophet, he's on the losing side. I don't want him as my team captain. They're going to bring miracles. No, they're going to deceive them. They're not going to deceive me. And they that had received the mark, well, that's not something I want to take. That worshipped his image, they're both cast alive into the lake of fire and brimstone. Just that would be enough for me to say, this is not the team I want to be on. How do I make peace with the Lamb? How do I make peace with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Horrifying and dreadful. At least it is to me. But maybe you like horror stuff. Maybe you like to be in the midst of the blood, guts, and gore. That would not be me. Back in my police department days, there was a day work. It was a beautiful day. The sun was out. Just a few puffy clouds in the sky. Car coming up to a stop sign full of teenagers. I ran the stop sign, broadsided a minivan with a family of four. I was the first one on the scene, and I'll tell you, there were bones laying on the street. There were people that were obviously dead. Fire guys got there. They were providing first aid on a multi-vehicle, multi-injury accident. The officer on the street, especially if it's a fatal, the officer on the street does not work that. Crash, accident reconstruction at the time. Today it's called a crash investigation unit, CIU. They would come out and they would do that. And I walked up, I looked at the body parts laying on the ground, and I looked at the fire guys and said, I'm going to direct traffic. I had seen enough. Day work, snowstorm, we sat in roll call, and the boss said, find yourselves a parking lot, do not wreck your car. You get a non-priority call, you reach out to me to see if I even want you to go. Find a parking lot, sit there, and do not move. I'm not working any cruiser wrecks today. So I plotted my course, I'm going down West Ox Road, I'm going to take all major roads because I was in the western part of the county. Major roads that I know are going to be salted, that are priority. So I took the road in front of the VDOT crew trucks. VDOT's going to take care of their road, right? I went 29. Going 29 towards Centerville, came to Stringfellow Road, and that was the oddest thing. There was a big snowplow on my side of the road, just sitting there. No big flashing yellow lights going off. That's odd. Car had come out against the red light, and the snowplow had come through, and the snowplow had caught the driver's door about right here. And is that explicit enough? Things were no longer attached. I got on the radio, said, this is 840 Baker, and I am on the scene of a 9F. Nine is an accident, 9I is an accident with injury, a 9F is an accident, fatal, 9F. Dispatcher comes back, could you repeat your last? This is 840 Baker, I'm westbound 29 at Stringfellow Road, and I am on the scene of a 9F. I am blocking traffic. And the dispatcher said, are you sure it's a 9F? Yeah, there's something vital that is no longer attached. I'm pretty sure this is going to be a confirmed fatal. She said, copy that. Gave the time, and it went on. You had a desire to? No, what did you do? Stayed back in my car, stayed warm. It's right out in front of the 7-Eleven. Walked up there, got a cup of coffee. I have no desire to be around that. Listen, I have no desire to be part of this supper. And again, I say, flee the wrath to come. The beast and the false prophets, what is happening to them? They're going to be cast into the lake of fire. Revelation chapter 20. What is happening at Revelation 19? After the second coming of Jesus Christ, we are the 1,000-year reign of Christ. Chapter 20 is that 1,000-year. I don't want to get too far ahead and to go into that. We'll talk about that next week. But what I want to emphasize that at the end of the 1,000 years, Satan is going to be loose for a little season. So I'm going to fast track from Revelation 19, where the beast and false prophet are taken, to Revelation 20, which is after the 1,000-year, there's a great white throne judgment. I saw a great white throne, and he that sat upon it. Look at verse 10. And the devil that deceived them, okay, he's loose for a little season, but now he's out at the end of the 1,000 years. And the devil that deceived them was cast where? Into the lake of fire. 1,000 years later. Where what? Where the beast and the false prophet were? Are. People that say people are cast into hell and there's no tomorrow. There's annihilation of the soul. They don't live there forever. And I don't know what they do with this. I'm just telling you that 1,000 years prior to Revelation 20, verse 10, at the second coming of Jesus Christ, the beast and the false prophet were cast alive into the lake of fire. And 1,000 years later, Revelation chapter 20, verse 10, they're still there. Hey, preacher, how would you like to spend 1,000 years in the lake of fire? That would be enough for me to want to flee the wrath to come. How long are they going to be there? Forever and ever. So we're talking about contrast, difference, marriage supper of the Lamb, the supper of our great God. But here's another contrast that people often dismiss lightly, and you should not. We are very excited about everlasting life with Christ forever and ever, but we miss the opposite of that in the lake of fire forever and ever. Eternal fire, everlasting fire. It's not a place where I want to be. You bow your heads and close your eyes. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. You're here tonight. You not know Jesus Christ as your Savior. You say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I am not saved. I'm seeking. I'm wondering. I have questions. I tell you, I'm a little frightened and unsettled. If you are without Christ, you ought to be frightened and unsettled. But you can settle that matter tonight. I'd love to sit down and talk with you from God's Word and show you the gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Preacher, pray for me. I'm not saved. Slip your hand up. Hold it up for just a moment. Visiting by way of technology, and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you should call me. Go to the website, fill out the form, comes to my desk, meet you at a coffee shop, sit down and open God's Word and show you Jesus Christ. Father, thank you for your Word. May we be faithful to warn others to flee the wrath to come. Thank you for your grace. We praise you for your salvation throughout all eternity. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.